The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And we have a corrupt, compromised president, crooked Joe Biden, who is dragging us into World War III. And that's what's happening on behalf of a nation that paid his family millions and millions of dollars in obvious bribes. All you have to do is take a look at how much China, how much Ukraine have paid the Biden family. It's a total disgrace and a very dangerous one. Under these circumstances, the notion that we would even consider admitting Ukraine into NATO at this time is completely unhinged. Joe Biden can't even walk up a flight of stairs on Air Force One, and he can't put two sentences together. The last thing that this incompetent administration should be doing is risking war with a nuclear-armed Russia or China or other countries. We have somebody that doesn't have a clue representing us.
There's your real president speaking truth to power. He's one of the only ones, as my father says, in America Under Attack. He's standing virtually alone, but look at all that is being exposed in the Biden crime family. And of course, as we'll discuss today, behind that family, you've got the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on this final show for the week. You can watch the show every weekday morning at our very own website. Just go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. That would be noon on the eastern coast of the United States. But 11 a.m. central time zone, trumpetdaily.com. Also, you can go to our Rumble channel. Just search for The Trumpet Daily, and you can watch the program at our very own channel there at Rumble and get involved in the live chat and leave some comments and, of course, leave us the thumbs up Rumble as you view the program as well. Lots to get to on today's show. So as was revealed yesterday, President Trump alluded to it there at the beginning of his statement. Obvious bribes. A bribery scheme involving the Biden crime family. Yesterday, we learned that a highly respected FBI informant, he says Joe Biden told a Ukrainian energy firm that they could get out of legal trouble if they gave the Biden family $10 million. This is the occupant of the White House, the Oval Office, at this moment. And this was going on just a few years ago. And it was ongoing. That's right. And what kind of coverage does it get? Well, I'll come to the regime media a little bit later on in this segment. First, let's just give this story a summarization. This is Fox News yesterday after Chuck Grassley revealed the memo, the unredacted version of this 1023. This 1023 that the FBI has been sitting on and that the FBI did not want to reveal, did not want to make known. This is Fox News yesterday, number 6.
An explosive allegation from Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley releasing an FBI informant document alleging a $10 million bribery scheme against President Biden and his son Hunter, who's a board member of the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. The informant said, quote, "Don't worry, Hunter will take care of all of those issues through his dad." In 2016, the informant met with Mykola Zovchevsky, the head of Burisma, shortly after Joe Biden had made a public statement about Ukraine's top prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, being corrupt and that he should be removed from office. The informant says Zovchevsky, quote, "didn't want to pay the Bidens and he was pushed to pay them. He has many text messages and recordings that show he was coerced to make payments." Asked why Zolchevsky wouldn't hire someone with more experience in the oil and gas market, the informant says Zolchevsky replied, quote, "Hunter Biden was stupid. My dog was smarter. Burisma hired Hunter to protect us through his dad from all kinds of problems." Grassley says the informant is a Ukrainian-American who has been a trusted, highly credible FBI source for over a decade and had been paid six figures.
A highly credible source for more than a decade. And just to keep this as simple as possible, Burisma paid the Bidens $10 million, and they also hired Hunter Biden, who at the time was a crackhead whoremonger. He brags about that in his memoir, in his biography, his autobiography. He was addicted to cocaine. He was addicted to prostitutes, a sex addict. And Burisma hires him for their board? Burisma hired him for their protection because they knew that the big guy could get rid of this this bothersome prosecutor or investigator that was Viktor Shokin. And think about all of the corroborating evidence. You'll see a montage later on in this segment where the MSNBC crowd, they're talking about, yeah, there's all these dots out there, and conservatives are saying, just connect the dots. Well, the dots don't connect. They absolutely do connect. With what Biden said in 2018, bragging about getting Shokin fired, basically withholding $1 billion from Ukraine until Shokin gets canned. And then you've got this 1023 saying that the Biden family was also in on it on the side, making money for themselves. Paid off $5 million to Hunter, $5 million to the big guy. And of course, it never goes direct to the big guy. Remember, we've got all the other evidence. Tony Bobulinski, we've got Jim Comer's investigation, all of these wire transfers, and the shell companies. You've got to disguise the money laundering. You've got to cover it up. They weren't so good at doing that, as it turns out. Some other prominent families in Washington, as I said yesterday, they're a little bit better in laundering the money. Not so with the Bidens. I mean, you've got Hunter as the bag man, and he's addicted to cocaine at the time. This is unbelievable. It gets zero coverage from the New York Times, seriously? It gets zero coverage from others in the regime media? I think CNN gave it 35 seconds this morning. 35 seconds? I think it's about time for Jack Smith to come out with another indictment. Then they can, that's something they can cover enthusiastically, and they can give that wall-to-wall coverage for months, in fact. You really, as you see more and more of this evidence that's now seeing the light of day, you can see why they had to rush to action in 2016 when Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. They had to have, like Peter Strzok said, they needed some insurance policies here and there. But then you can also see, after Zelensky was voted in, and then Donald Trump's making the phone call, and he's just asking a few questions about the corruption there connected to the Biden family, you can see why they rushed to impeach him. They impeached him over a phone call. And so far, none of this is impeachable. What's happening with the Biden crime family? Nothing. I'm trying to wrap my mind around what's worse. You know, where is the worst of it as far as the corruption goes? Is it in the regime media that won't cover any of this? Is it in the FBI that sat on the 1023 and covered up the Hunter Biden laptop? Is it with Republicans that have been given all of this evidence and so far no impeachment proceedings, nothing? Just investigations and sound bites. That's it. This is from The Federalist. If this is the biggest corruption scandal in American history, and it looks like it is, then it deserves a full and exhaustive investigation. As it is, Sean Davis tweets out, after searching at the New York Times for anything on this story, the memo that Grassley revealed, nothing. Zero stories. No coverage. No coverage whatsoever. To give you a little bit more detail on this 1023, Burisma, this goes back to 2015, 2016. They're looking to break into the U.S. market. They want to purchase a U.S. energy company so that they can have a presence here in America. But they knew they were being investigated at the time for some of their criminal activity. This is a shady company. Viktor Shokin's looking into it, and so they knew that they needed to get that problem at home taken care of. before they could then break into the U.S. market. So along come the Bidens, ready for business. You've got the big guy. He's serving as the vice president at the time. And of course, Barack Hussein Obama, the dear leader, he basically just turns Ukraine over to the Biden family, the Biden crime family. Joe Biden, he's the point man with respect to all things Ukraine. How convenient. So Burisma, sorry, I dropped my sheet there. Burisma, they hire Hunter Biden because Joe told them to. And then Joe also expects the two $5 million payments. And then he uses the $1 billion in loan guarantees provided by you, the taxpayer, Uncle Sam, and the federal government. He withholds that until this investigator, Shokin, gets fired. And then, unbelievably, this is in 2018, Joe's now out of office, but he's bragging at some conference about how that he got Shokin fired and how that he administered a quid pro quo. This is clip 9.
And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a... He got fired.
Notice that the big guy said, hey, if you want to call Obama, go ahead. Call the dear leader. Obama was on board with this scheme. Obama knew about this scheme. If the 1023 is sitting there in the FBI, at the FBI for the last couple of years, all of this confidential human source worked, he's still anonymous, worked with the FBI for over 10 years, paid six figures for his information, highly credible. You think Obama didn't know what was going on? Of course Obama knew. Now, it's been going back and forth between, are they throwing Biden under the bus or are they going to protect him? With the latest revelation, it looks like they're protecting him. They're either not covering it up or, as you'll see from a montage in a moment, they're just blowing it off as, yeah, there's nothing to see here. Let's talk about moving boxes at Mar-a-Lago. Maybe they're covering it up now or covering for Biden because this gets awfully close to the dear leader. These explosive revelations. I mean, this was happening under Obama's watch. This was happening during Obama, after Obama had completely weaponized the DOJ and the FBI. Look at how this exposes the deep state. You've got this confidential human source. The FBI interviewed him on June 26, 2020. And you can get this memo, the 1023, it's 4 pages. You can get quite a lot of detail in there. In late 2015, early 2016, this CHS, the confidential human source, he attended a meeting with all the Burisma bigwigs. He's there with Burisma's CFO, the chief financial officer. He had exchanges, I believe, with the CEO as well. Anyway, the CFO said that Hunter was on the board for Burisma to protect us. This is a direct quote. To protect us through his dad from all kinds of problems. Nothing to see here, says Joe Scarborough. To protect us through his dad, who was vice president at the time. This is a massive pay-to-play scheme. A massive bribery scheme. And in some of these dealings, it's just pretty hilarious almost. The guys on the board mocking Hunter Biden, one in particular saying his dog was smarter than Hunter. They had no respect for Hunter or his ability to do anything except call his daddy and say, hey, this investigator over here, the state prosecutor Shokin, you gotta make sure he gets fired. He's getting a little bit too close to the truth. They did that with Shokin. And then Donald Trump comes along later. He just makes a phone call. He's getting a little bit close to the whereabouts of the dead bodies, so to speak. And so they pounce. Vindman, Caramella. How much did those guys know? These were the whistleblowers. This goes back to a time when the whistleblowers were worshipped by the regime media. It shows just how many people are in on the coup. It shows how deep the deep state really is. It shows how terrified they were of being exposed. All this corruption going on, and Hillary Clinton's supposed to get in there, and everything's supposed to remain the same. And then their world turns upside down. And then Donald Trump miraculously wins in November of 2016. It's interesting, this document, I read through it yesterday. The CHS advised Burisma to get an attorney and said that, you know, it could cost you like $50,000, but you probably need a good attorney to help you through some of these struggles you're having with the law. And the guy just blew him off and basically said, $50,000, that's nothing. We've paid $5 million to the big guy, and we've paid $5 million to Hunter. Just doling out millions and millions of dollars. Listen to Jesse Waters last night as he you know, Fox, obviously, it's got its problems. It's into the Never Trump category. They're pretty much rhinos, most of them there. But at least they're covering some of this story because, well, it shows the corruption of the Biden family. And as long as it stays away from the election steal and those kinds of things, you know, we'll cover it. This is Jesse Waters last night, number four.
We might have just found the smoking gun that sinks the Biden family. Thanks to the Department of Justice whistleblowers and Senator Chuck Grassley, Fox News has obtained a declassified FBI document. This is the bribe document that the feds were hiding. This document details that Joe and Hunter Biden coerced a Ukrainian CEO to bribe them $10 million. The CEO wanted help getting this Ukrainian prosecutor fired, and he knew the Bidens were the right guys for the job. The declassified document lays it all out, including the fact that there are numerous texts, audio recordings, and wire transactions corroborating the Biden bribes.
Right, and as Jonathan Turley pointed out on, I think it was Laura Ingraham's show, it's amazing how much this document, this 1023, just mirrors what we've learned from other sources, like Bob Alinsky, like Comer's investigation, like the wire transfers. I think Devin Archer, he's Hunter's associate. I think he's being called before Congress next week. What more will we find out then? It's harder and harder. Although you'll hear the montage, it makes your head spin. But it's harder and harder to cover this up. This obvious corruption, this bribery scheme. But as I say, the more that is exposed, the more you see how many people are in on it, whether it's the regime media, whether it's anyone and everyone associated with the dear leader, the people in D.C., the deep state. I mean, Vindman, wasn't his specialty Ukraine? Isn't that where he focused his energy, his attention? Did he not know any of this was going on with the Biden crime family? So many people exposed by the movement to support just one man. We talk about the Jeroboam prophecy in America Under Attack. Donald Trump, the MAGA movement. You can see why they see it as such a threat to their stranglehold on power. It's beginning to slip a little bit. Listen again to Jesse Waters from last night, number five.
It's becoming clear this was part of a massive pay-for-play scheme. Now, the CEO even said he, quote, hired Hunter Biden to protect us through his dad from all kinds of problems. The Ukrainians knew exactly what they were doing. They were paying for protection like the mob does. And they got their money's worth. When somebody raised an issue that the local prosecutor was looking into the company, the Burisma CEO said this, quote, don't worry, Hunter will take care of all of those issues through his dad. Hunter and Joe were on the take, which each of the Biden boys pocketing $5 million, allegedly, and they were strong-arming the company the whole time. The Ukrainian CEO didn't even want to pay up, saying he was pushed to pay them. Maybe he didn't want to fork over some cash because he knew that, quote, Hunter Biden was stupid and his dog was smarter. And if that's really how Burisma felt about Hunter, it's no wonder this was all Joe's idea. As the document points out, it was Joe who was insisting that Hunter be on the Burisma board. Joe knew he needed a Biden on the inside. Between this document and the 17 audio recordings of the Bidens the Ukrainian CEO says he has, this is a mountain of evidence piling up against the Bidens.
It's a mountain of evidence, but it's also a mountain of leads as well. What was it they went to? I think it was the one involving Cohen, Michael Cohen, who worked for Donald Trump, and there was all this mysterious activity in Prague. And I mean, reporters went over there to dig it up and they couldn't even find it. There was nothing to it. But at least they followed up on the lead. I mean, just read the 4-page memo and you've got all kinds of leads, these Burisma reps, the wire transfers that Jim Comer's finding. There's plenty to go with here. There's plenty to take and run with, but none of them will do it because they're all conspirators. They're all part of the coup. And so instead, they lie. Instead, they cover up. I'll come to that in just a second. You've heard about the IRS whistleblowers. That was, I guess, Wednesday of this week. This is from the Federalist. Gary Shapley, a veteran agent with the Internal Revenue Service, told House lawmakers Wednesday that the Justice Department slow-walked criminal proceedings into Hunter Biden to allow the statute of limitations to expire. They slow-walked the investigation. They just basically shut it down in 2020. They completely covered up the laptop. Again, in all of this, you see just how desperate they were to get Donald Trump out of there before he discovered too much. And of course, the sad and shocking thing is that when he had Bill Barr, people like Bill Barr in place, they actually could have done something. Even John Ratcliffe was there. Now, Chris Wray, he's as rhino as they come. But with Ratcliffe as DNI, and then you have Bill Barr over justice, they wanted Trump out. Well, maybe not Ratcliffe, but anyway, Bill Barr certainly has fallen into the never Trump category. He's going hard against all things Trump. Even as he covered up all of this, yesterday they had a House hearing, by the way, on censorship. It was the one where the Democrats, during the censorship hearing, wanted to censor RFK because of his views on the vaccine, calling him a Jew hater and everything else under the sun. But I thought this was pretty hilarious, this Emma Jo Morris. She's the one that wrote a lot of the articles about the Hunter laptop. Again, when you think about how that this 1023 mirrors what's on the laptop, what Tony Bobulinski said, this CEO of Burisma, at one point he said that we didn't send the funds directly to the big guy. That's the terminology he used. It's just like Bobulinski with all the text messages that he revealed. He gave it to the media. He said, here, you can look at it. They didn't send it direct to the big guy. They didn't even mention Joe Biden by name directly. It was just all code, but everyone understood who the big guy was. Put it all together, connect some dots. There's a few remaining details, I'm sure, that can be found out. But where are the reporters, you know, hungry for a big story that actually would reveal, that would blow the lid off corruption? They're nowhere. They're all in the deranged category. Trump derangement syndrome. It's all that they can report on. It's all that they can talk about with any kind of enthusiasm or energy. With everything else, it's all the narrative. At this hearing, Emma Jo Morris, I think she works at Breitbart now. She was talking about how that the New York Post was censored because of what she was writing about the Hunter laptop in October of 2020. And she went back and read from some of the stories, Politico and others, during this hearing yesterday. Listen to this, clip 2.
on October 19th, 5 days after the Post began publishing, Politico ran a story headlined, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. God, I can't even say that with a straight face, you know? Politico printed a letter completely uncritically from veteran members of the U.S. intelligence community falsely claiming that the Post expose has, quote, all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation.
They print the letter, don't investigate it, don't look into it. They just run with all of this unverified information that turned out to be just a flat-out lie. And then to hear them this morning, the ones that actually do cover the 1023, to say that the contents of it is unverified? Well, you've based entire three-year-long lies on unverified information. Remember the dossier? Remember the Russia collusion hoax? All the spying? This is Jonathan Turley, the one I mentioned earlier. He's on with Laura Ingraham, and he's just making a point toward the end about how, you know, what's in that 1023, it perfectly mirrors what we've learned from so many other sources. Clip 8.
The other thing about this this document is that it dovetails perfectly with what Comer and other chairmen have found, also including the recent disclosures from Ways and Means, about how money went to the Biden family. The document refers to how they were not supposed to send money to the, quote, big guy, a term we've seen in other files as referencing President Biden. But it said that the Bidens preferred to use a labyrinth of different accounts, different corporations to hide the money. Well, these committees have put together a detailed account of just layers upon layers of corporations and accounts used, and it doesn't seem like there's any purpose to this complexity except to hide these transfers of money. And so the most disturbing thing about the document is that it mirrors what was recently released by these committees looking at the actual transactions from these banks.
That's right. Comer's got the actual transactions coming in from Ukraine, coming in from Romania, coming in from the CCP. You put that together with the statements revealed in this 1023. It's just layer upon layer upon layer. So much is being exposed. And is there a curious reporter out there anywhere that would come forward and say, you know, what did Barack Obama know about this? What does Obama think, or what did he think about Joe Biden in 2018? Just bragging about getting Shokin fired. Basically, not even basically. I mean, look up the definition for quid pro quo. They went on and on about it with respect to Trump and his impeachment in 2019. As I say, all of these revelations certainly make it obvious why they had to impeach Trump over a phone call. He was getting too close. He was actually on the phone with a new Ukrainian president saying, you know, you should look into some of these crimes between Burisma and the Biden family. That was getting a little too close to home for the Biden crime syndicate. And so we had to go through the impeachments and then all those lies and then the lies leading up to the election of 2020 with respect to COVID and the lockdowns and then later the vaccine and then the lies surrounding the January 6th protest and all the FBI agents that were involved in it and then the lies that the media covered up or took and ran with. Depending upon whatever the narrative was. All roads lead to Obama. It's interesting, as I say, to just see, you know, we've been trying to keep our finger to the pulse. And CBS has had some pretty revealing stories about Shapley and Ziegler. So they have exposed what a lot of what these whistleblowers are saying, what they're claiming. But then you see the reaction to this 1023. And, I mean, they were either silent, or they were happy to just basically blow it off. This is from Tom Elliott at Grabian. A confidential human source to the FBI reported Joe Biden told a Ukrainian energy firm he could help them get out of legal trouble for $10 million in bribes and thus for And thus far, the story has received 35 seconds of coverage on CNN. 35 seconds. This is over at Newsbusters. It says, back on June 8th, two massive political stories broke, but only one of them got covered by the broadcast networks. On June 8th, former President Donald Trump was indicted by the special counsel in the classified documents case. That very same day, it was reported that President Joe Biden had allegedly received $5 million from an executive of the Ukrainian gas company Burisma. This is June 8th. And as I say, it totally mirrors what was revealed in the 1023 just yesterday. Now, some of it might have been based on that 1023 that men at Congress had access to. Still, though, the coverage here, over 39 days, that's between June 8 and July 18, just the other day, the big three networks crammed their evening, morning, and Sunday roundtable shows with a total of 527 minutes of coverage dedicated to the Trump indictment. But how much did the Biden-Burisma alleged bribery scheme receive? 0 seconds. Zero. They won't even talk about it. As I say, the New York Times won't even cover it. Not even after yesterday's 1023. This is from Fox News. CNN and MSNBC skipped airing live coverage of the House Oversight Committee questioning the explosive claims from the IRS whistleblowers. What they're saying, I mean, that squares perfectly with the 1023 and that CHS. It squares with what Tony Bobulinski revealed even before the stolen election to Tucker. No coverage whatsoever of these two IRS whistleblowers. Just ignore that story. Just pretend it's not happening. And then you have the 1023. Senator Grassley, he releases that yesterday. And they either don't cover it or you get coverage like this, clip 10.
This is pretty dense reading, and I'm sure that you guys went through this immediately too, because this is a document that we've really been waiting to see for a while here now, the long-fabled 1023 form that Grassley has long pointed to as a potential smoking gun implicating then-Vice President Joe Biden in the dealings with Burisma and his son Hunter. Of course, Democrats would be quick to point out that that's not what this document does, and frankly, in reading it, there are even some things that could be lost in translation.
Right, the FBI and the White House sharply criticizing a move by Senator Chuck Grassley, the Iowa Republican releasing an internal FBI document with unverified claims from 2016 that President Biden and his son Hunter purportedly received bribes from the CEO of the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. The FBI says Grassley's release of this information, unverified information, at a minimum, risks the safety of confidential sources. And the White House sharply criticized Republicans for pushing long debunked claims.
And here we have a document that, again, that's complete nonsense. And you have Chuck Grassley going, I don't care whether he's guilty or not. We're just trying to create chaos.
The point of all this is not to connect the dots. It's just to throw out a whole bunch of dots that don't connect, just to try to create this atmosphere around President Biden that he must have done something wrong. It's just insane. But again, the dots don't connect. They aren't supposed to, as Senator Grassley revealed, they're just supposed to sort of muddy up President Biden and create this impression that somehow he's done something wrong and he's corrupt, because the comparison is inevitably drawn with Donald Trump, who actually is corrupt. And
it's crazy. I mean, how many people, if we had a running list connected to Donald Trump, his administration, his campaign, who have already been charged and convicted for crimes? There's never been a presidency close to this.
No, there's never anything like this, because there's never been the kind of rampant criminality and insanity that we saw in the Trump presidency. This is a level of criminality, proven criminality and increasingly punished criminality that we've never seen before in our history.
Burisma's goals were clear. They needed to get out of some legal trouble. The prosecutor was breathing down their necks. So they contacted the Biden crime family. They offered Hunter a job. Actually, Joe demanded it, as well as the $5 million for him, for his son. $10 million. Shokin gets fired. Ukraine gets the loan guarantees. But Trump! They can't, even in this corrupt, where all of this evidence is being revealed about this corrupt administration, this corrupt family, they can't not cover Trump. They just can't not bring him up. It's impossible. The Trump derangement syndrome is quite the disease mentally. They're mentally deranged. It's like the devil has a stranglehold on their minds. They just can't think straight. They have no curiosity. They have no willingness to pursue any of these leads. And how rich it is for them to really stress unverified. Unverified. I'm Leslie Stahl. Remember that one? We're not going to publish a story that's not verified. It's not verified, said Trump. Leslie, they were spying on my campaign. No, they weren't. They're all in on it, aren't they? They're in on the coup. This is from America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy of this, now is your time to call our operators. It's 1-866-930-3024. You can go to our website and order it through that as well. That's thetrumpet.com. I mentioned at the start of the show, trumpetdaily.com. That takes you right to the live stream of this show, which is every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. So America Under Attack, my father says here, the dossier was effectively an insurance policy intended to destroy Trump in the event, in their minds, remote, even inconceivable, in the event that Mrs. Clinton lost in 2016. Somehow Donald Trump pulled off the impossible and won. And look at what this, just this one singular event, look at the dominoes that have fallen, exposing all of these how Obama weaponized the deep state. I mean, the attacks started instantly as Obama unleashed John Brennan, Jim Comey and company to come up with this bogus intelligence report saying that the Russians helped Donald Trump to win. And that was given as an excuse then to spy. They went into the FISA courts, they lied. And they went after Trump for 4 years, and they're still going after him. Now, this time with indictments, this is the way they're trying to steal the election next year, with maybe a half a dozen indictments before it's all said and done. And meanwhile, you've got this crime right out in the open, stealing, lying, cheating, briberies. These people are all guilty of treason. And so are those talking heads that you just saw there. They are traitors. They're not patriots. They're traitors. It says here, Barack Obama then ramped up his treasonous plot to cover up their prior actions at all costs and worked to politically destroy the elected president of the United States. See, all of these investigations, these hoaxes all over the place, they're not just meant to go after the bad orange man. They're meant to cover up their own tracks, their own criminal behavior. It says here, the Trump-Russia investigation lasted 2 years, cost $40 million, and it was meant, my father says later, to distract from and cover up their own criminal treasonous activity. The evidence shows a tremendous amount of law-breaking by bureaucrats in intelligence and law enforcement. As I say, how much did Vindman know about these wire transfers into the Biden crime family? I mean, he's supposedly an expert on Ukraine. Cherimala, these are the whistleblowers that brought on the impeachment on Trump. How much does Zelensky know? And then you think about, forget about the $1 billion loan guarantee. What about the $120 billion that Biden is responsible for sending to Zelensky? I mean, Vladimir Putin's an evil man, an evil dictator. But the motivations here, this isn't just a push back against Putin. This is to continue on with all of these bribery schemes. You give me this, we'll give you that. You give us this, we'll give you that. You wonder how many wire transfers are still going on, even as we speak. Shell companies all over the place? Hunters living in the White House? You still have the cocaine bags just magically floating in? It says the evidence shows a tremendous amount of lawbreaking. Well, there's more we could get into, but we'll cut it short there. We want to leave some time for a Bible study segment. We've also got the current news segment coming up after a very short break. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you want to send some email feedback to the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
...240 German troops have arrived in Australia for transnational military drills from July 22nd to August 4th. The Talisman Sabre military drills will involve more than 30,000 soldiers from 12 different nations, training to fend off a potential future Chinese invasion of Taiwan. This German deployment is significant because mobilizing German troops overseas has been frowned upon since World War II. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, however, NATO nations have been calling on the German military to step up. But Anglo-Australian trust in Germany is misplaced. Multiple Bible prophecies indicate that the end-time nations of Israel, which include America and Australia, will be betrayed by Germany. To understand more about these key prophecies, read, Is America Setting Itself Up for a Double Cross? Taiwan's defense ministry reported on July 15th that China sent 16 warships into the waters around Taiwan within a 24-hour period. This set a new one-day record of Chinese aggression. From Wednesday to Friday last week, the Chinese military also flew 73 aircraft into Taiwan's Air Defense Identification Zone. China views Taiwan as a breakaway province that should be under its control, but Taiwan views itself as an independent democracy. The U.S. ostensibly supports Taiwan, providing military equipment and training to help it deter Chinese invasion. However, the U.S. government has a history of capitulating to China regarding Taiwan. In 1998, Bill Clinton became the first American president to yield to Chinese pressure and issue a statement opposing Taiwanese independence. Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury said this meant Taiwan's days of freedom were numbered. This view of America's weak will and how it will factor into the China-Taiwan dynamic is based on Bible prophecy. To understand more about Taiwan's future, read Taiwan Betrayal. In a declaration on July 18th, the European Union referred to the United Kingdom-owned Falkland Islands by its Argentine name, Islas Malvinas. The document was released following a two-day summit in Brussels between leaders from the EU, Latin America, and the Caribbean. This declaration is the first time the EU has officially recognized Argentina's claim to the islands in a joint declaration. Argentina hailed the declaration as a diplomatic triumph. The UK asked the EU to clarify its statement, but the request was refused. The UK has continuously inhabited and ruled the Falkland Islands since 1833. In a 2013 referendum, 99.8% of voters in the Falkland Islands voted to remain a British overseas territory. Despite this, Bible prophecy shows that the UK will lose the strategic seagate. The Bible prophesied that the modern-day nations of Israel, primarily the United States and Britain, would control strategic passageways or seagates around the world as part of the Abrahamic blessings. However, the Bible also foretold that America and Britain would lose control of these sea gates because of disobedience. To learn more about this subject, read the chapter Changing of the Guard in our free booklet, He Was Right. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
At our summer educational program here on campus, we've been going through that now for a few days, and every morning we bring the campers and workers into our lecture hall for a 45-minute Bible study, a 45-minute jump start to their day spiritually. And one of the lectures that they're going to hear at this camp has to do with the victim culture that you see all around us. You know, everyone's a victim, and they want to blame bad things on some organization or an opponent or a race, some racial grievance that they have, or against some political party. It's always somebody else's fault, certainly not your own. Nobody expects or rather takes responsibility for their own actions. And of course here, you know, in God's family, we offer admonition routinely to young people and old people alike, that look, we've all got to play an important role here. We've all got a work to do. We often call the work of God's church just simply the work. And yet if you look back to the days of Herbert Armstrong, He Was Right was mentioned there in that current news segment. This brochure is just packed full of all kinds of prophecies and predictions that Mr. Armstrong made that have since come true. I mean, we've seen it. Look at the communist infiltration, to take one example. If you don't have a copy of this, I mentioned AUA before the break, but call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and request your free copy of He Was Right. Well, he had a lot to say and teach about Christian living over the years as well, not just Bible prophecy. The Bible, of course, is made up of a third of prophecy, a third of history, a third of Christian living. It's like I said earlier this week, I mean, this is our guidebook for living. And Mr. Armstrong would often talk about how that he, even though he was God's apostle, he couldn't do the work on his own. He needed the support of all the members in God's church. 1 Corinthians 12, in that chapter, it likens the church of God to a human body made up of all the various parts that you see on a human body. The fingers, the elbows, the joints, you know, the head, the toes, the legs, the arms, the vital organs. They all work together. If the body is healthy and energetic and productive, you've got all the members of the body working together as one. It's a team. Mr. Armstrong brought this out in Mystery of the Ages. That's another book that you should order. Mystery of the Ages, he talked about the church. Chapter 6 of that book talks about the church, and he says the church is a team, and you can't survive as a loner Christian. We all have to work together. This is what Herbert Armstrong wrote back in 1978. He said, I just can't bear it up all. I can't bear it all up single-handed and alone. It says, I've got to have some of you back me up. He said further on, will you let God give you the strength and energy and vitality you need for your part in the work? It's just easy to sit back and say, well, he'll take care of most of the labor, and I can take it easy or coast a little bit because, well, I'm not as important. I don't have all of the benefits or opportunities that he's been given. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, this is admonition that Paul gives to fathers. He says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God says that we all need to have this hard-working mentality of a provider, just like God, our Father, is a provider. We too want to provide. This goes far beyond just providing, you know, money or a paycheck that the family can use to to buy groceries or whatever. I mean, you're providing spiritual food. First and foremost, if you think of the principle of Matthew 6:33 as a father, I mean, seeking first the kingdom and God's righteousness, and then bringing God even into your personal and family finances, providing. Henry Ford wrote in his book, My Life and Work, he said, there is no reason why a man who is willing to work should not be able to work and to receive the full value of his work. He says, there's equally no reason why a man who can but will not work should not receive the full value of his services to the community. If he contributes nothing, he should take nothing away. And you look at the way our society is changing so dramatically, where so many people embrace the socialism ideology, where the government just provides for you, whether you're a productive member of society or not. It's quite unlike what the founders envisioned. If he contributes nothing, he should take nothing away. That's the founder of Ford Automotive. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. I mean, that aligns closely with what Henry Ford said back in the 1920s or 30s. Paul said, if anyone doesn't work, well, they shouldn't even eat then. Everyone's got to produce. Everyone's got to pitch in. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. These are wise words from King Solomon. Staying here in 2 Thessalonians 3, notice verse 11, it says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. When we're not kept busy with work, then we get into trouble. That's another point we've really emphasized at our summer educational program, just how important it is for these young people to be active. Everybody's got different strengths and talents and abilities, but to be active in producing, in growing, in developing a hobby, in becoming good at something, in developing a good work history, learning how to work hard to make some money as a youth. These principles, I mean, in so many ways, they're a thing of the past for so many people in Western society today. And then I saw this story in the news stack that I haven't gotten to yet either. All of these people in the UK that were punished for, violating the laws of lockdown. Maybe they had to continue on with their work, and then the government comes in there and punishes them for trying to continue to be a productive member of society. And meanwhile, all the elites, they were violating the rules of the lockdowns routinely. It happened over and over again. None of them are punished. How much longer is this going to last for our nations? Seriously. Even when Jeroboam returns here in the United States, how much can we continue on? How long can we survive with this level of sickness and disease? It just permeates our society. Verse 12, it says, now then, they that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, and they eat their own bread. I mean, this is applying to just being a provider in the physical sense, but certainly there's an application here spiritually as well. With quietness, we need to roll up our sleeves and get to work in supporting this greatest work on earth, the work of God's church, the work of God's family. Every individual member plays a crucial role in that family operation. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.